All right, Revelation chapter 3, the church at Sardis. Revelation chapter 3. We get to continue our study tonight of the book of the Revelation. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word, verse 1. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you're alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, again we thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look into your word. Now, Lord, just open our hearts. Take your word and surgically apply it to our lives, that we might be made better servants for you, that we may know you more, serve you better, and honor and glorify you. Lord, we pray that your will be done in this service, that you will move among us freely, and that we'll respond to your conviction, to your comfort, to your encouragement. And Lord, we pray that your will is done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. The church at Sardis, and the first thing we're going to look at this church at Sardis is their reputation. It says, thou hast a name, or you have a name. Every once in a while, I slip back to the King James, right? And still use the thous and the these every once in a while. But it says, you have a name. You know what that is, right? It's not that just that they had a name. It's talking about their reputation. When people talked about the church at Sardis, they had a reputation. And their reputation was that they were alive. Folks apparently looked at this church and the membership at Sardis, I have no doubt, looked at their church and were pretty pleased with what they were and where they were. But again, I refer you to where we began this study. How that Jesus walking in the midst of the churches. And you know, it doesn't really matter what we think of us, does it? It doesn't even matter what our reputation is. Maybe good, bad, or otherwise. All that doesn't matter. What does matter is what Jesus sees, because he sees what we really are. And as he walked in this church, or walked among the churches at Sardis, he said, your reputation is you're alive, you're vibrant. But the truth is, you're dead. He said there in verse 2, I have not found your works perfect. That word perfect is an interesting word in that it means not perfect as we know it, but as it's used here, it means to make full. I've not found your works made full or furnished or supplied liberally. You see, that word, that Greek word was used to describe hollow vessels, okay, empty vessels. And so what Jesus is saying when he says, I have not found your works perfect, is that they were like this empty glass. Nothing on the inside. The church existed I'm sure they on occasion had services. Folks looked and said, we're all right. But Jesus says, you're empty. You know, when you're alive, things are happening, right? I mean, if you're alive, you're up, you're going to work, you raise your family, you do things around the house, you get out and you do. But when someone dies, what happens? I'll tell you what, I don't know how many funerals I've preached, but I've never in my life preached a funeral during the week and had that person come to church the next Sunday. Yeah. Why? Because they're dead. Useless. Nothing's going on. They just leave behind a hollow vessel that is no longer of value. It doesn't work anymore. It doesn't accomplish anything anymore. For all practical purposes, it's useless. And that's what Jesus is saying about this church at Sardis. He's saying, I don't care what everybody else says about you. What I know about you is that you're absolutely empty. You don't do anything. There's no work. There's no accomplishment. As a matter of fact, you're useless. They were a shell of a church. As I thought about this, man, there are a lot of churches that are dying today. Have you ever been to a dead church? You leave the same way you come in. You don't feel as though you've been in the presence of God. And the funny thing is, the churches that are dying, they don't know they're dying. They'll make comments. You know, I've heard churches make comments, well, I just don't understand why people don't come. And I want to say, ooh, I know. Because you're dead. Nothing going on. You're not doing anything. You're not serving the Lord. You meet, you have three songs, an offering, and endure the message, how silver, let's go home kind of mentality, you know. You're dead. James chapter 2 verse 20 describes it perfectly to me. He said, but will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now I know works don't get you to heaven, right? But our works do bring honor and glory to our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The things that we're doing, okay? And that's one of the signs of being alive. You look at a church and you see what it's doing. You see the missionaries that it's supporting throughout the world. You see the local outreach. You see the lives that are being changed. You can see churches that are alive. And you can see churches that are dying. One thing, you know, I think we're blessed at Victory. God is moving. God's people are working. Lives are being changed. But I also want you to understand, we're one generation away from extinction. Did you know that? One generation. I know that right now I'm a young man. At least you could have said amen, darling. But one thing I also know is that I'm growing older with each day that passes by. And I know I won't be here forever, right? One of these days Jesus is going to come back, or if he doesn't come back, one of these days I'm going to leave this life and go to my heavenly home. What's going to be left behind? You see, that's why there is no time for a church to sit idle. A healthy church is a church that has, that is a well-rounded church. Okay? They have children. I love children. Amen? Oh, we can do better than that. We love children at Victory. Amen? They're a blessing, not a hassle. I've seen people that say, well, I don't like kids. Well, if somebody tells you they don't like kids, say, you tell them, well, that's okay. No, don't tell them that. Start to say, we don't like you either, right? But no. I have heard people make those kind of comments. Not here. Praise God, not here. But let me tell you something. Children are a sign of a vibrant, healthy church. And let me tell you something. You may be an elementary age, you may be a teenager, or you may be college age, but don't ever think that you're too young to serve the Lord. That old mentality of the children need to sit down, shut up, and don't do anything till they get older, that doesn't apply at Victory Missionary Baptist Church. Okay? We want you to be active. We want you to be in the choir. We want you to sing specials. We want you to be in Sunday school. We want you to be an active member because that is a sign of a vibrant, healthy church. Never let anyone tell you you're too young to serve the Lord. We also, a healthy church is going to have young adults. You know, men and women who are just starting their lives. Maybe they've got them little baby kids, you know. Trying to work to make ends meet. I want to just offer you this. If you're in that category, never get too busy to serve the Lord. Okay? Oh, we get so busy and so caught up in the demands of life. But one of these days, you're going to grow older. And you're going to realize that the things that you think are so important right now are really not that important. What matters is that your children have a mother and a father that love them and love one another. And a mother and a father that love the Lord and are willing to teach their children to love the Lord. Okay? I thank the Lord for our young parents, our young adults who are just getting a start in life. Man, you've got it all ahead of you. What a great time. Then we have the middle agers. It was a shock to me when I realized I reached middle age. But you know, that's that age that you carry. You know, you've about got your children raised. Things aren't as pressing as they used to be, or you don't feel like things are as pressing as they used to be. A lot of our, you know, that middle age, they carry a lot of financial burden at the church. Praise God for them, you know. But let me offer you this. If you're in that age group, be an encouragement. Something I've come to realize that there's a lot of people that look up to you at that age. These young parents, they look at you and they think, wow, they raised their kids. You know, they've been there, done that, went through what I'm going through. You be an encouragement to the young parents. And also be an encouragement to the children. Okay? Let them know that you love them and that you care about them. Because, yeah, I mean, I think middle age is a very influential age. Do we have any middle agers here? This is the gap that just, you know, we don't have, right? Listen, the sign of a healthy church is going to have middle aged people too. A healthy church is going to have senior adults. And let me tell you something, senior adults. You are never too old to serve the Lord. Okay? I've heard seniors say, well, there's just not much I can do anymore. No, you're wrong. Okay? When the Lord's done with you, He'll call you home. Okay? But as it is right now, if you're still drawing breath, you're still a tool and instrument of the Lord to be used by the Lord. You let Him use you. You use your wisdom. Share your wisdom. Be an encouragement to others. Be a prayer warrior. But I went through all that because having all those age groups, we're blessed at Victory. And it's a reminder of what God has given us. Yes, my friends, we are alive, but we also need to be on guard. Okay? Because it's easy to slip into neutral. Brings me to the next point. to revive. In verse 2, they're commanded, you be watchful and strengthen that which remains. That word watchful, the word literally means to become awake, and it gives the idea that they were asleep. And Jesus is saying, no, it's time to wake up. The picture is that the whole church was asleep while the world was passing them by. And missing opportunity after opportunity. You see, that was the characteristic of the city of Sardis. As a matter of fact, Sardis was located on top of a mountain. Okay? There was one way in and one way out. And so, to protect the city of Sardis, they just had to watch one road. And you know what? Twice, on two different occasions, the guards fell asleep. The enemy came up that road and took the city. On two different occasions, all they had to do was watch that one road. But instead, they slept. That's why Jesus is saying, look, wake up, church. Strengthen, establish those things. Make firm those things. Look around you at the opportunities that you're missing. And I thought, you know, how many opportunities do we let pass us by? Have you ever went to sleep on the couch? Okay, here's a moment of truth. Let's be honest. You want to be honest? Say amen if you want to be honest. All right. This may be a middle-aged thing. I don't know. Have you ever been sitting in your recliner or sitting on the couch and say, well, I'm going to stay up till the news and weather goes off. I'm going to watch the news and weather and then I'm going to bed. And you're sitting in that nice recliner, you're leaning back on the couch, and the next thing you know, it's 10:30. And you missed the news and the weather because you went to sleep. Don't that make you feel silly? Of course, that never happened to me. But, it's happened a time or two. But, you know, it's kind of like churches are today. Start out with good intentions and they think, okay, we're having services and, you know, we're doing all the right things. While meantime, opportunities are passing us by that we never even see. I mean, who do you keep intending to invite to church that you're saying, one of these days, I'm going to get around to it? Who do you keep, one of these days, I'm going to share the plan of salvation with that person? Meanwhile, day goes by, next day goes by, the next day goes by. All the while, we're sleeping and missing the opportunities. Who do you keep intending? Have you ever said, boy, one of these days I'm going to show so-and-so how much I care about him. I'm going to encourage him. I'm going to tell him that we love him. But yet one of these days never come. And day goes by after day. And it never gets done. It's easy to get there. And boy, once you get there, it's hard to wake up. But you know what's missing in that scenario? It's the joy. There's no joy in napping as a church. Amen? There's no joy in letting missionaries go unsupported. There's no joy in letting our friends go unwitnessed to. There's no joy in letting God's work go undone. The joy is when we're involved and active and vibrant and working. That's why Jesus said it's time to repent. Remember, he said, remember how you received and heard. Note the word how there. How you received. How did you receive? Well, I'll tell you, someone took their time and they made an effort to bring you the gospel. Might have been that preacher who studied and prepared to preach that night you were saved, and he delivered a message that was just, you thought was aimed just at you. It might have been that concerned friend who invited you to church. It might have been that person that Sunday after Sunday brought you to church, but no doubt you heard the gospel and you were taught in Jesus Christ because someone made an effort to work for the Lord. Maybe it was your parents. You know what? It still works that way. We still have a responsibility to be active. And Jesus told him, he said, if you don't wake up, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. And he's not talking about the rapture here, okay? As a matter of fact, he's talking about blotting people's name out of the book of life. And he's not talking about losing your salvation either. A literal translation in the Greek there is the book of the living. Okay? I'll blot your name out of the book of the living. You know what that means? You're saved to serve. Amen? You're saved. God has put you where you are because He wants to use you. And if you're unfruitful, what good are you? As a matter of fact, Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through about 9, there's a picture of an unfruitful tree. And it talks about the owner comes to that tree and says, I'm going to cut it down. And the husbandman or the keeper, he said, let's give it one more year. Let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it. Let's give it one more year. And if it doesn't produce one more year, we'll cut it down. Listen. Are you serving? We've got one life. Amen. This is it. Yeah? Once you use a day, you can't get it back. There are no do-overs. If you miss an opportunity, you can't get it back. God has saved you to serve. Are you serving? Are you alive in the Lord's work and vibrant in the Lord's work? So that not just people looking at you, but so as Jesus looks at your life and He moves among our church, can He say, not only is your reputation that you're alive, but you are alive. I like the end of this. I love the end of this. Said you there in verse 4, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Jesus says He'll confess His name. The faithful one, the serving one, the one that's fulfilling God's plan in his life. Jesus says, I'm going to confess your name before my Father. That word confess means to acknowledge open and joyfully. Do you realize that Jesus approaches God about you? Do you realize that? I wonder what He says when your name comes up. I know what I'd like to think. I know what I'd like to hope. But being honest, what is Jesus? I mean, in John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That word advocate means one who pleads the cause of another. When Jesus goes before the Father, how does He go? See, it's one of two ways. Father, give him another year. I know he's not producing right now. I know he's not serving right now. I know he's putting us off right now. But let's give him another year. Let me dig around him and fertilize him. And maybe in another year, he'll produce. He'll work. Or, when he pleads your cause, does he plead you? Father, This is my faithful pastor. This is my faithful deacon. This is my faithful servant. And Father, he's fighting a good fight. He's working. He's serving. He's encouraging. He's teaching. He's witnessing, Father. But Father, he needs your help. You see, the way it goes is, we're supposed to have the willing heart, the willing spirit. Jesus, our advocate, pleads our case before the Father, and the Father pours out his divine power in our lives to do great things. You know what's really neat? I love to see churches. I love to see people who accomplish things that I know they can't do. Don't you? Isn't that cool? When you see churches just explode and they look at the pastor and they think, I don't get it. He's not all that much. I just don't get it. Why is that church growing like it is? It's God. Okay? It's God. Or when they look at you and you've won souls to the Lord and they say, I don't get it. He can't even talk. How is he winning these people to the Lord? Because we have an advocate that goes on our behalf before the Father. His Father, he needs you today. He's serving you. Father, pour out your power upon him. I think the key to being a thriving church is we've got to be willing. And we've got to put feet on our prayers, be willing to go out there, witness. Go out there, invite them to church. Go out there and share the wonderful Savior that we have. And when we do that, I think we have the promise of Jesus. That he'll never leave us nor forsake us, but he'll be our advocate. He'll furnish us with the power and the strength that we need to do those things that he knows and we know we can't do. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And we'll close with this verse. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, and do this, knowing the time, that it is now high time to wake up out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. You ever heard the phrase high time? You know what it means? Just like the old timers used to use it. It's high time. It means it's time now. Paul says it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Do you realize you're closer to heaven than you've ever been before? If you're a child of God, you've never been this close to eternity. And you can't do anything about the days that you've wasted. I've heard people, you know, say, oh man, I just feel so bad I wasted. Well, that's good that you feel bad about wasting those days. But listen, you can't go back and redo. What you have is today. Use it for the honor, the glory of God. Be alive. Be vibrant. Be that child of God that Jesus is working through. You may be here tonight. You don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want to invite you to come for salvation. You are a prayer away. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. All you can do is very simply ask Jesus to save you. Oh, Brother Doug, and I've been told this time and time again. Oh, Brother Doug, there's got to be more to it than that. No, there's not, because if there was, none of us could be saved. Okay? The Bible says, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. Will you make your life commitment to Jesus today? Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look into your word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to study the churches of Revelation. And Lord, many good things about these churches are mentioned there. But there are also some things that should wake us up and keep us mindful that you've placed us here as your servant. It's our opportunity and even our privilege, Lord, to serve you. So, Lord, may we be mindful and have a zeal for your work. I pray that your will be done in this invitation, that you'd receive honor and glory by every decision that's made here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray.